Hey, I want to tell you about a new mini course that I have. It's called the 5-Minute Shift. One of the most frequent questions that I get from people on social media and clients is, how do I stop feeling anxious? How do I stop feeling upset? How do I stop feeling angry at my spouse? How do I stop feeling a certain way and get to something that feels better? This mini course is to answer that question. It's a 30-minute video. You get a cheat sheet and the slides, plus a Q&A and a why this works video. But really all you need is the 30-minute video, the how-to. It's a process I use every single day, multiple times a day. I have clients who use it and have experienced huge changes in their life. And if you practice this method over and over again, I promise you'll be able to shift any emotion in around 90 seconds to about 5 minutes. So if you're somebody who feels like you get stuck in emotions, you stew in emotions, you spiral in them, and you really wish that you could get out of them and it didn't involve scrolling or eating or shopping or any of that, this is for you. It's $29. There's a link in the show notes, and I hope you enjoy it. Welcome back to Calmer Conversations, the podcast where you learn how to help your brain become a calmer place to be so that it's easier to feel exactly how you want to feel in your daily life. Whether that's feeling calm and confident, content, or even joyful, or just like you've done enough of the right things at the end of the day, or all of the above. I'm Cecilia Mandrick. I'm a certified life coach, yoga therapist, and founder of the Calm Brain Academy. If you're ready to shift the patterns of self-sabotage, procrastination, daily overwhelm, people-pleasing, and perfectionism, you're in the right place. Not only is it possible to change the conversation between your brain and your body, when you do, you'll change your life in the process. And you're one step closer just by joining me today. Ready? Let's dive in. Hi, and welcome to Calmer Conversations. I'm Cecilia, your host. This is episode 49. Let's start with a moment of settling in, of grounding where we are. So wherever you are, if you're driving, if you're walking, please don't close your eyes if you're doing one of those things. But if you are in a place where you can close your eyes, you might do that. Wherever you are, you might re-find your connection to your seat, to your ground. You might wiggle your toes. You might kind of give yourself a little wiggle in your seat. You might give yourself a little bit of movement too, maybe yawning or stretching. And then if you can, bring your focus a little bit more inwards. And as you bring your focus a little bit more inwards, you might take a few intentional breaths, maybe making that sigh or the sound for the exhale. And with each exhale, you might let go of whatever it is you have been doing or need to do today. With each inhale, you might recognize perhaps tension in your body. And with each exhale, you might either release that tension, maybe even be open to releasing that tension, or you might simply stop making it wrong that it exists. Be okay with the tension. And then as you feel ready, you might ask yourself, you might place a hand on your heart or on your belly, and you might ask yourself, why am I here today? What am I hoping to get out of this? Maybe even, how do I want to show up for myself today? Or what is it that I need right now? And if there is something that you need that you can give yourself, like you need to go pee, by all means, pause this or take me along with you and go pee. And if there's something that you need or want that you can't give yourself in this moment, you might jot it down and ask either, how can I give it to myself later today or later this week? Or how might I start to give it to myself in some way? Okay, welcome. You can come back to your body in your location. You might feel your feet on the ground again. You might blink your eyes a few times if they were shut. Today, I wanted to talk about listening to your brain instead of shutting it down. And I want to talk about this because so often we hear that we need to shut our brain down, right? We hear that, in fact, we need to silence our inner critic, or we need to stop our brain from doing what it's doing in order to feel good in our life. And ultimately, everything we do is because we want to feel better in life, right? And you can even ask yourself, have you ever tried to shut your brain up when it's spiraling? What if instead of silencing your brain, you could learn to listen to it with curiosity? And what if listening to it with curiosity was actually the ticket to feeling better and different in life? So often our brain starts spiraling and we want to shut it up. We want it to just stop. We feel annoyed and we want it to just stop. But instead of forcing it to stop or ignoring it or numbing from it, what if you could start to listen to yourself? And then when you start to listen to yourself, to listen to your brain, that was actually the opportunity you got to start to shift it and change it. Okay. So a lot of, and I'm going to include myself in this, right? So a lot of my clients and perhaps listeners have experiences, right? Like you have anxiety spirals, you go to worst case scenarios, you get into overthinking, you get into inner criticism. So we have these experiences in our brains that are really uncomfortable. And as I just said, oftentimes we want to shut them down, right? So our brain starts going into overthinking about something. Maybe your boss sent you an email and it said, we need to talk about the project tomorrow. And your brain, instead of just taking that as information, and you are going to have a conversation with your boss tomorrow, starts going into anxiety spirals. It starts making up a story about how your boss is always unhappy with you and you're about to be fired and on and on and on. And we know where this goes, right? And when this happens, most of us, me included, want to shut our brain down. We want to shut it down. We want to shut it off. We want to tell it to shut up. We just want it to stop. And many of us have lots of different distractions or ways we can make this happen, right? So we can distract ourselves. Social media, hello, such a good distraction. We can deny it. So we can kind of use our willpower and force to focus on something else and kind of ignore that it's happening. We can numb from it with something like social media, also would be a good numbing tool, but also something like wine or shopping, right? So all these things, we instead of acknowledging what's there, we try and push it away and we try and push it down too, right? So silencing it, ignoring it long enough. And we think if we ignore it, it will go away. We think that if we distract ourselves enough or we numb ourselves enough, then that part of ourselves will kind of give up and walk away. And the other side of this is that sometimes when we start doing this work and we hear that our thoughts create how we feel and how we feel creates what we do, we start to kind of become hyper-vigilant about our thoughts and we stop wanting to voice some of the things that are going on in our head because we think if we voice them, they will come true. So if we say out loud or we acknowledge that we're having the thought that like life can't be this good for us or I'm sure, you know, things are about to go wrong or whatever it is in your head. Or if we go back to the boss example, I'm about to get fired. We think that if we voice the thought that it exists, that is present, that it will come true. We think that simply saying it out loud or acknowledging it is the, is kind of like the tipping point for something else happening. So you might ask yourself what you do when your brain starts to get loud, and it could be like when you step into an emotion like anger, or it could be when your brain is telling you about all the bad things that happened that day or all the things you still have to do or all the work that's still on your plate, whatever it is, what do you try and do? Do you distract yourself? Do you numb? What tool do you use? Because it's a tool, really. Your brain has figured out some way to avoid this discomfort. And I think when we start to phrase it in that way, we start to understand our brain a little bit and give ourselves some compassion. For instance, if you're numbing with a glass of wine after a hard day, instead of acknowledging the thoughts you have, your brain has figured out a way to avoid the discomfort and in fact to create a little bit of pleasure, right? And in some ways it feels like it's also probably preserving energy because you're there and you're enjoying yourself, at least on the surface. But the cost of this behavior, and you can ask yourself this too. So after you acknowledge what it is that you do, and it's helpful, right, to play along with this. It's helpful to actually say, okay, when I have really hard feelings or when I have thoughts that I don't like or my brain starts spiraling, this is what I do. I replay it over in my brain 1,000 times and I go hide, right? I walk away from whatever it is. Or I go work out, or I clean, or I do something, you know, whatever it is, versus connecting with yourself. And so the cost is that you are actually disconnecting from yourself, right? The voice inside your head is a part of you. And while it's oftentimes illogical, right, your boss sending you an email that says we need to talk probably doesn't mean you're going to be fired. It might. Like there could be a case in which that is what's going to happen. But for most of us, that's not actually what's going to happen. But that voice inside of you is scared, right? It has a real fear, even if it is illogical. And the other cost is that this pattern that we get in actually never allows your body to process what's there to make space for what's there. And when we don't make space for what's there, whatever we resist, you've probably heard this one. It sounds good, so it's got to be true, right? Whatever resists persists. Whatever we resist persists. So if you resist the anxiety spiral, if you resist the thoughts that you have, the fear that you have that you're about to be fired, while you may have done a really great job numbing that day, that fear has not been dealt with. You haven't actually been with it and validated it and addressed it. So your job, your brain's job, is to keep you safe, not always to tell the truth, right? So the thoughts that you have are not actually truths in the world. They're generally not logical. And the interesting thing about them is this part of your brain that's having this reaction, I've said this before, is a little bit like a toddler or a really excited golden retriever. And so if you are a dog, it doesn't need to be a golden retriever, but if you think about if the last time you were around a dog who really wanted you to pet it or to throw a ball for it, they bring you the ball and they drop it at your feet. And if you don't pay attention to them or you don't throw the ball, they'll pick it up again and drop it at your feet again. Then they might kind of like bark at you. Then they might kind of put their paw at you. But oftentimes they don't go away until you throw the ball. And oftentimes we will just throw the ball because we understand this. When a toddler comes to you, the last time you were around a toddler, and they want something from you, even just your attention, if you don't give it to them, they will just get louder and louder and louder and louder. And this is what happens with the parts of ourselves that we're not paying attention to either. It comes with this fear you're about to be fired. And we say, I don't want to acknowledge that. That feels uncomfortable. I'm going to numb out. And that fear, instead of being dealt with and acknowledged and worked through, what it does is we've disconnected from ourselves and we've made that part of ourselves need to get louder to be heard. So it needs to up the game the next time this happens or on round something else that's kind of related because it needs to be heard. It needs to be seen. And if you've been around a toddler recently, you know that the moment you make eye contact with them and you kind of help them feel seen and heard, they almost immediately go away. I don't know if you've tried this, but if you just kind of, so when I'm working out, my 2.5-year-old will oftentimes come and want attention. And if I ignore him, if I just keep doing what I'm doing, he'll get louder. He'll jump on my body. He'll like try and he'll be in my space, right? If I look at him and I connect with him, maybe even play with him for a minute or two, and then I remind him that I'm doing something, he oftentimes will either play beside me and allow me to do what I'm doing, or he'll go and he'll find something else to do. But it's only when I acknowledge him that that's allowed. So the fears in our brain, if we think of them like this, these big voices, when we acknowledge them, we don't make them true, but we do allow them to dissipate. So we allow them, we allowed ourselves to process them. So your brain says, you get this email from your boss, we need to talk tomorrow about the project. Your brain immediately goes into this mode of, we're about to be fired. We're going to lose our house. Like everything's going to fall apart, right? Life is going to fall apart. And part of you says, that's illogical. I don't want to deal with it. The other part says, I don't want to deal with it because it's uncomfortable. Maybe a third part of you says, I don't want to deal with it because I don't want to make it come true. So I don't want to voice these things. But those are just three, those are just three other parts that are kind of trying to ignore this part. If you think about my kid and working out, this is like pushing him away. I don't want to do it because I'm in the middle of a set. I like don't want to lose my momentum with the workout. And it's like, it's going to be annoying to have to stop and come back to it. But the thing is, if I don't do that, the whole rest of the time I'm trying to work out is going to be, it's going to be clouded and colored by him being there, right? And so if we don't acknowledge the fears within us, they continue and persist, even though we're numbing out from them and pushing them away. And so instead of numbing out and pushing away and disconnecting from yourself, what you can do is you can pause and say, oh, I'm feeling something. I got this email from my boss and I'm feeling something. I'm having a reaction. I can actually feel the adrenaline dump into my system. I can feel a feeling of stress or fear. I can feel maybe a tightness in my throat or a redness on my cheeks or some reaction happening in my body. Oh, I could call that fear. I could call that overwhelm. I could call that anxiety. Okay, usually what happens when this comes up is I spiral. I text all my friends and then I go drink a little bit more than I want to and my whole night's ruined. I don't get a good night's sleep. All right, so I'm going to try something different. I'm going to see if I can breathe with or tap with or journal with what's come up. I'm going to see if I can be with what's there so that I can process it, right? And when I do this, and I have a course, the 5-minute shift, that teaches you how to do this. It teaches you, there's a 5-minute processing video so that you can actually go through these things in real time, right? It's, I think it's $29. You can go get it. If you already have it, go use it. And this helps you to actually work with whatever has come up so that you can reconnect with yourself, so that you can reprogram your brain, so that you can bring your nervous system back to regulation and have a different experience of that day and of that conversation with your boss in our example. Okay, so what can you do in real life? Ask yourself, you can grab a journal, you can talk these out loud if you're driving, you can just start to think about them, but what's one loud thought that I routinely ignore or I numb out from or I push away? What is one instance in which thoughts come up that I try and ignore? What do I think this thought is trying to tell me? What do I think is underlying this thought? So for instance, with the boss one, it might be some sense of, I don't think I'm good enough for this job, or I doubt my ability. And so understanding those underlying thoughts is actually going to be the most powerful thing for rewiring your brain. But you have to start by acknowledging the fear in the moment. And then you could ask yourself, if I responded with compassion, if I was responding to a friend who shared the same kind of thought, what would I do? What would I say? So asking and getting in touch with this loud thought or this instance in which you routinely walk away from yourself and your brain, try and shut it up, right? You try and shut up your inner critic is like routine. That's advice a lot of times, right? Just shut up your inner critic or like, I don't know, ignore them, which oftentimes the ignoring just doesn't work. The whole point of this episode is that the ignoring doesn't work. The ignoring makes it louder. So, oh, my brain is telling me I can't wear shorts. Okay, interesting. What do I think? I've been trying to ignore that. What do I think this thought is actually trying to tell me? Well, it's telling me that like I have some body issue thoughts and beliefs that I might want to address. Okay, well, if I could respond with compassion or if I were talking to a friend about this, what would I say? So go through this yourself. And again, if you want support, the 5-minute shift is a really powerful short course that can take you through this process in real time. And I go into much more detail than I do here. And it will help you actually process in the moment. Although it can take, the whole idea is that it will take you 5 minutes or less to process emotions. Okay. You don't have to obey every thought. You don't have to trust every thought. In fact, we don't need to trust our brain and what it says, but you do need to acknowledge these thoughts that create big emotional reactions in your body instead of numbing them or ignoring them, pushing them down, whatever it is. Because when you start to listen, you can learn a lot about yourself. You can lead yourself gently forward. You can start to reprogram your brain and nervous system so that you have a different experience in life, which is what this whole thing is about, right? Helping yourself have a different, more full experience in life. So don't shut your brain up. Try to start to listen compassionately to your brain. And when you start to listen compassionately, know that things will start to shift and change. It will feel weird at first. This is a practice. It's like learning to do something new, like swing a golf club if you never have. After you do it a few times, it'll feel more normal. And after you've done it 100 times or 1,000 times, it will feel comfortable in your body, but you have to get to that place. You have to go through the awkward part first. And if you want help doing that, get the 5-minute shift, join me in the Life Lab, come do this work in a supported way, because this is what we're doing. This is what all the humans in the world are trying to figure out how to work with their brains. You're not the only person, I promise. All right. Thank you so much for being here today. It was a pleasure. I hope this was helpful. If it was, get in touch. Let me know what you took away from it, what you enjoyed about it, how you're using this practice in your life. And otherwise, just come say hi on social media. I'd love to connect with you, and I will see you next time.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Calmer Conversations. Take what you learned today and use it in your life. Even if it feels a little awkward or clumsy at first, remember these are practices and that real change comes from implementation. Then send me a message over on Instagram or TikTok and let me know what worked or didn't work. If you want to dig deeper into something from today's episode, all of the resources can be found at the link below in the show notes. If you like this episode, there's a great chance that you'll love working with me. Join my monthly coaching community by visiting me on Instagram or my website, www.ceciliabmandrick.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts, and I'll see you back here next Thursday.